You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
Everybody serves something. There's no middle ground. You're going to serve the one true God, or you're going to serve all the lesser gods of this world. And the only difference between us today and the people in the Old Testament is they were actually more honest about who they were serving. Our gods are hidden. We don't call them gods. We call them sports. We don't call them gods. We call them work.
Our God is a jealous God. To serve Him, you must have no other gods before Him. What does this mean? In our culture, it doesn't necessarily mean serving another actual God, like Ra or Allah, although serving them is wrong as well. But we've gotten really good at being conspicuous about our gods, serving things we don't even label as gods. As Pastor Holland asks in today's message today, what are you serving above the one true God? Where is your time, money, and effort going? Where is your focus? Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Romans chapter 5 as he begins his message, So Great is Salvation, Part 2.
We're in a series on salvation. And salvation is the first step in what I call the journey of grace. It's where God takes us by His grace through this journey to bring us out of darkness into the light. We begin in Egypt, where God saves us out of Egypt. We're baptized through the Red Sea. We go into what feels like a wilderness experience, learning how to trust God, learning how to be led by God, learning how to worship God in the midst of a whole brand new way of seeing the world. And then we cross the Jordan River, which represents the baptism in the Holy Spirit, crossing over into the Promised Land, which represents the Spirit-filled life. And God tells us to take the land and promises to drive out all of our enemies and defeat all of our strongholds. And so over the past few weeks, we've been building a biblical worldview, And we've been looking at why we need salvation. We began by looking at how man is separated from God. And this separation is due to Adam's decision to break God's command. And Paul said in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. So every person is born in this state of separation, separated from God. And the natural man is born under a sentence of death. And because through Adam, all have sinned. Now, we looked at the world system that man is born into. That Egypt being a type of the world and the world system, and the world system is at war with God. It's against God. It seeks to conform those who are in the world system into its image instead of allowing them to be who they are created to be, made in the image of God. The world wants to take and put its own stamp on us and create us in its own image, which is against God. That's why Paul says in Romans 8 verse or 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the impetus of being conformed is that it's a change that is not wanted. It's an unwanted change. It's not something that we're desiring, but we're being forced to be changed into something we're not. And that's what the world does. The world forces you into something that you're not. Whereas God transforms. To transform something is to elevate it into what it was created to be. To elevate it into what it can become. You know, it's the word metamorpho. And it comes from the eye. You know, we get our word metamorphosis from it. And so God transforms us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also looked at man's role in salvation, that man is born into a state of separation, meaning there's no consciousness of God, only a consciousness of the world and the world system, and man has a choice. Man can choose separation, which results in death, or choose relationship with God, which results in life. And this choice is a matter of lordship, deciding what God you will serve, And I read Joshua 24:14-15, where Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua says, if you don't want to serve the Lord in sincerity, if you don't want to serve the Lord in truth, then choose whom you will serve, because everybody serves somebody. Everybody serves something. There's no middle ground. You're going to serve the one true God, or you're going to serve all the lesser gods of this world. And the only difference between us today and the people in the Old Testament is they were actually more honest about who they were serving. Our gods are hidden. We don't call them gods. We call them sports. We don't call them gods. We call them work. We call it women's rights. We don't call it idolatry. We call it abortion. So we call it the woman's right to choose. So we have different names for our gods. We're just not honest about the fact that we're not serving the one true and living God in our culture today, because everyone is either going to serve the God or they're going to serve something else. And so today we're going to look at the gods of this word, of this world. And God is a God of revelation. I've said that before, and it's something that I want you to begin to just kind of understand, that God is a God of revelation. Every time he speaks, every time he acts, he is revealing himself to man. And as we look at Genesis, man didn't know a lot about God, and man is getting to know God through the things that God has said, God commands, God does. And as we get through the book of Exodus, you know, man is learning, you know, the world doesn't know about God. So God is educating Pharaoh. God is revealing himself, because God wants man to know him. We were created to know God. And God wants man to know three things. God wants man to know that there is only one God, that there is none other like him in all the earth. God wants man to know that he is the only Lord. He is the Lord of all lords, and that his power is supreme. And God wants man to know that the earth, creation, everything belongs to God. With every plague, God reveals his power and his sovereignty. His power is unchallenged, and his sovereignty, his rule, and his reign is without rival. There's no king or kingdom that can stand up against the one true and living God. Now, there is some confusion about what sovereignty really is. And so I'm going to read you the legal definition of sovereignty. This is the definition of sovereignty that has been in the world since governments began. The legal definition of sovereignty is the power of a state, a ruler, or a governing body to make, execute, and enforce law, to impose and collect taxes, to make war and peace, to form treaties, and to engage in commerce with foreign nations. If you notice here, the word control does not exist in the definition of sovereignty, and yet so many people think that sovereignty equals God is in control. But that is not what sovereignty means. Sovereignty has to do with power. With power. God is sovereign, meaning God is unlimited in his power. And what we see in Exodus is God, by his mighty power, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, delivers Israel out of Egypt. It is a power encounter. It's not an encounter of control. I'm in control of my people. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's an encounter of raw spiritual power. Now, I have experienced the raw spiritual power of God in my life. I've experienced it firsthand, and I can tell you, it's terrifying. It is terrifying. When you encounter and have an experience with the raw power of God, it is the most terrifying experience in your life. Because at one time, you know that God loves you, but at the same time, you know that in a moment, he can snap his finger and you will be dust. That's the raw power of God. And God's case against Pharaoh is Pharaoh has taken captive what belongs to him. In Exodus 9:13, the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.'" Now, notice God says, "Let my people go." That statement, "let my people go," is a statement of possession. These are his people. These people belong to him. Now, what gives God the right to claim ownership, to claim the people as his possession? His covenant. His covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His covenant that he makes with the people. In Exodus 6:7, he says, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brings you out from the burdens, from under the burdens of the Egyptians."
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
And so God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham accepted that covenant. Abraham agreed to that covenant. And by agreeing to that covenant, Abraham agreed to enter into this relationship with God, whereby God would be his God. And how did Abraham enter into that relationship? By faith. It says that Abraham believed in the Lord being Jesus Christ. We see in Genesis 15, where this covenant was made, a pre-birth appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So God's covenant is his law. And the proof of God's sovereignty is his power to enforce his law. He has the power to enforce his covenant. He has the power to collect taxes, which in Leviticus is referred to as the tithe. And the Bible says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. He has the power to form treaties, to make covenants, which he does with Noah, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Moses, with David. And then he makes the new covenant with all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to engage, do business with foreign nations, which he does with all the nations of the world. And in particular, in our passage today, he does business with Egypt. And if you remember in Genesis, it was an agreement that Egypt would take care of God's people during a time of famine. So God engaged in business with Egypt to take care of God's people, allowing them to do what God commanded them to do. What did God command them to do when they went into Egypt from the land of famine? God says, "I will allow you to grow into a great nation into this time. That's what my plan is for you." And Egypt had a part in that by participating with the work of God. And then he also has power to make war and peace, which he does with Pharaoh because Pharaoh is violating God's covenant with his people. And as we read in the first chapter of Exodus, there arose a Pharaoh that did not know God. And so he did something that he shouldn't have done. He begins to take possession of, take ownership of the people of God, and he puts them under bondage. And so judgment comes to Pharaoh because Pharaoh takes possession of what belongs to God and is keeping God's people from doing what God has commanded them to do. God says, I want you to go out and worship me. And Pharaoh says, no. And so he's keeping them. And this is a violation of the covenant that God has with Israel. Now, this is what the world does. The world system keeps you from doing what God has commanded you to do. All the world belongs to the Lord. And the world system, which includes its religions, has put the world into bondage, has put the world in, has taken possession of the world unjustly. One real simple test of that happening in our culture today, and it's the same test that the children of Israel had, when Moses said, let my people go to worship the Lord, what did Pharaoh say? No way, you've got too much work to do. You can't go because you have to work. And what's one of the biggest excuses of people not coming to church? I have to work. That's the world system. That's where it encroaches into the life of the believer. And so God comes with this mighty power and enforces his covenant with Abraham, a covenant that is by faith, and he does this by destroying the gods of this world. And here's what I want us to understand today. Salvation is not simply about confessing your sins and getting right with God. Salvation is not about praying the right kind of prayer. But they're part of the salvation process. But it's not what salvation is. What salvation is a power encounter where God delivers you out of darkness and brings you into his marvelous light. It's a power encounter. It's where we experience the power of God. Now, you can automatically begin to understand so much of the New Testament where Paul says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You are no longer in the darkness. Walk in the light. Be children of light. Be aware that your adversary is seeking to destroy you. Why? Because God has delivered you, taken you out of Egypt, taken you out of the world, taken you out of the world system. And he's brought you into the light, taking you out of darkness. You're a different person, a new creation. And he calls you to walk as a new creation. Paul said salvation is by grace through faith. Now, the definition that I use for grace is out of the Strong's Concordance. And you have to get the older version, the original version, because in the modern version, they have changed it. They've changed the definition. And Strong's defines grace as the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. It's the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. You know, grace is the divine influence. Well, who is the divine influence? Jesus, right? Just like Sunday school, the right answer to all the questions is Jesus. Jesus is the divine influence on my heart. And so grace is Jesus influencing my life by his mighty power. What is the reflection of this in my life? What does it look like? It looks like freedom. It looks like liberation from the bondage of sin. It looks like power, walking in power, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I define grace as the real powerful presence of Jesus at work in my life. That's what grace is. So when Paul says you are saved by grace, what he is saying is that Jesus himself stepped out of heaven, stepped into humanity, and he himself came and rescued you and delivered you and defeated all the gods of this age to deliver you out of darkness, to bring you into his light, to set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Salvation is a power encounter. It's a power encounter. And that's what Exodus teaches us. God literally defeats the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of the age, and by his mighty power delivers Israel from bondage. Each plague represented one of the gods of Egypt, or multiple gods of the Egyptians. The first plague, turning the Nile River into blood, was an attack on Khnum, who was the guardian of the Nile, Hapi, which was the spirit of the Nile, and Osiris, who was the giver of life, whose bloodstream was the Nile. The Nile was worshipped as the source of life for Egypt. And God shows that he has power over their greatest god, that the Nile is not the source of their life, but God himself is the source of their life. The second plague, frogs, was an attack on Heket, who is the god of fertility, of new life, of new birth, and resurrection. In fact, midwives were referred to as the servants of Heket. And so God shows that he alone is the Lord of life by defeating this god. The third plague, lice, was an attack on Geb. Geb was the god of the earth. And Set. Set was the god of the desert. And this is the first plague where Pharaoh's advisors admit that they can't duplicate this plague, that this plague is the finger of God's judgment upon them. This is God himself. And this plague turned the Egyptians against their own god of the earth, because the whole earth was covered with lice. In fact, there was in the stelas of that time, there is a firsthand testimony report of what it was like. And it literally said that, you know, when you would look at the ground, it was like the ground was moving and undulating, and it was just thousands and thousands of lice and ticks, and then they would crawl up your legs, and thousands of them, just a lovely picture. But by defeating this god Geb, God shows that he is the Lord over all the earth. The fourth plague, which was a heavy swarm, was an attack on Khepri, the god of creation, the one who moved the sun from one end to the other, and the god of rebirth. And this is the first plague that distinguished between Israel and Egypt, that God says that my people receive favor, but the world is judged. God shows that he alone is the god of creation, and his people are the only ones who receive favor in this world. The fifth plague, which happens when the livestock die, was an attack on Hathor, who represented Pharaoh's mother, who was deified. She was the queen of heaven. And Apis, the bull god, who was the living personification of Ptah, who was the creator god and the symbol of fertility. And so oftentimes, the Apis would represent Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was seen as a representation of God on earth. And Pharaoh's mother was then represented by Hathor. We saw this going all the way back to the Tower of Babel. Friends, thank you for listening to the program today. You know, the statistics on life are quite staggering. It's been said that one out of every one person is going to die. And on that day, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to meet God? Well, you can be ready. You can have that assurance that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven by praying a simple prayer and mean it with all your heart, to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready to meet you. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for all my sins and wash me clean of all the wickedness I've done. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you've prayed that prayer with me right now, I can tell you with full assurance that you are going to be in heaven.
Thanks for tuning in to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. We pray today's teaching has been a blessing to you and drawn you closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's possible that today you're hearing about Jesus for the first time. If that's the case, we're so glad you've joined us today. We want to tell you more about how he can change your life forever. Just visit our website, calvarysanclemente.org, and click on Good News under the Home tab. This will lay out exactly what God's plans were for salvation and how His Son Jesus fits into the picture. You'll also find step-by-step instructions to start this relationship that will make all the difference in your life. If you still have questions or you'd like to talk to someone in person, please don't hesitate to call us. You can reach us at 949-228-9117. Again, that number is 949-228-9117. Do you happen to live in the San Clemente area? If so, come join us this weekend for church. We have services every Sunday and Thursday where we'll dig into the Bible together and spend time getting to know one another in deeper and more meaningful ways. Visit calvarysanclemente.org for service times and directions. You can also be a part of our services virtually. We're streaming through YouTube and Facebook Live, as well as on our website. Again, just go to calvarysanclemente.org to connect. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Holland next time for another edition of Worship Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it means to be saved? What are you saved from? Is salvation only about going to heaven? Pastor Holland's message series, So Great a Salvation, will answer these questions and help you discover the rich, abundant life salvation brings. Order your personal copy of So Great a Salvation at worshipliferadio.com.